Well, it's good to be here with you once again. It's been a little while since I've been here with all of you at this Mass, and I'm glad you took shelter from the awful weather out there to come and celebrate Mass with us here this evening. Again, though, how wonderful it is that the Church, in all of her great wisdom, presents Christ as the Good Shepherd every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, this season of resurrection glory and splendor and victory. He is the only true shepherd, and only He can lead us into resurrection glory. And yet, Christ reveals Himself today as both the shepherd, yes, but also the sheep gate. So we must enter through Him in order to properly follow Him. He's obviously trying to make that point to the Pharisees. But that's the rub, isn't it? Many people want to go around Him since they see Him as an obstacle. It can be a little inconvenient following Jesus at times, right? So then they find it more convenient to avoid Him instead. But these are the very ones that Jesus identifies as thieves and robbers. These people trying to be leaders, but without Him. Even if they do have good intentions, in the absence of Jesus, through their sharing in our broken human nature, they will eventually take advantage of others. In the absence of Jesus. Now, on the other hand, Jesus is unlike any other shepherd or leader in the world, since He is not competitive with us. He's not competitive with us. He's looking out for our good 100% of the time and His own good 0% of the time. He's never looking out for number one, so to speak. We are number one to Him. Everything He has done and continues to do is all gift. It's all gift, 100% for us, for the taking. He's entirely focused on serving you and me, even though He doesn't benefit at all if we actually follow Him. And it doesn't detract from Him. He doesn't lose out if we don't follow Him either. And even when we stray, it's not a matter of if, it's when we stray and how often we stray. When we stray, He always seeks to bring us back into the fold with His mercy. He doesn't seek to punish us. In His own words, a thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. These are all the false shepherds, the people that are leading without Jesus. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came, He says, so that they might have life, they being the sheep, and have it more abundantly. That they may have life and have it more abundantly. He yearns for you and I to have the fullness of life. Not just a kind of good life, but the fullness of life, flourishing, is what He wants for us. But this only comes through relationship with Him. That's the gate. That's the sheep gate that we need to enter through. So friends, let us not run away when we hear the voice of our shepherd. Instead, let us run straight to Him and away from those voices that seek to separate us from Him. In today's marvelous second reading, St. Peter gives us a much more in-depth view of the love that our shepherd has for us and of His total commitment to us. At the same time, he also reminds us of our sacred calling to follow Christ in all circumstances, trusting that He is always leading us to greater heights and never leading us astray. Peter's words here. If you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His footsteps. In short, what he's saying here is avoid running from the shepherd's voice when things get tough and trying to find earthly solutions to your problems. And by doing this, you will be exceedingly blessed. Back to Peter himself. When Christ was insulted, he returned no insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. So he's not going tit for tat with the people that insult him, that are inflicting suffering upon him. He's not lashing out as they're lashing at him. He turns to the one who judges justly, the Father, God the Father. He's total trust in Him. He's constantly turning to the Father, not turning to earthly ways. And here we see his beautiful and complete trust in the Father over all humans, all worldly ways. That's why he's saved. That's why he was able to do what he did and continues to do. Back to Peter's words, he himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Beautiful, beautiful stuff here. Notice why Christ did this. To free us from sin so that we might live in righteousness. Not so we can lollygag around and do whatever we feel like. To free us from sin so we can live in righteousness. So we can he can lead us towards flourishing, the fullness of life. And so that's why. But how did he do it? Total self-emptying love. We can see his wounds. We can see the blood flowing from all of his wounds right here. Total self-emptying love. Not self-serving love. Total self-emptying love for you and I. We have all gone astray like sheep, yet we are continuously called to return to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, as Peter exhorts us. And that's precisely who Christ is. So let him be your shepherd and your guardian. Don't follow other false shepherds. Don't give yourself to false guardians. Give yourself to Jesus. The psalmist in today's responsorial, which of course is the marvelous Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm, wonderfully illustrates what happens if you do this. Of course, Jesus brings this psalm to its fulfillment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. It's not like Jesus doesn't walk up and give you an ice cream cone on a warm day like this and then walk away. That's not the kind of refreshment we're talking about here. He refreshes my soul. It's beautiful. Notice some of the other words. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He wants us to rest in him, brothers and sisters, at all times. This is the Sabbath rest. This isn't just a quick nap kind of rest. This is the rest of God. That's what refreshes our souls. That's what he wants for us. The psalmist continues, he guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. Notice that he leads us in right paths, not my path, whatever I want to do. He leads us in right paths that lead us to that righteousness that Peter's talking about. Free us from sin, lead us into righteousness. And even though we walk in the dark valley, and we all have to at certain points in our lives, sometimes for longer or shorter periods, we fear no evil because he's there at our side. He talks about the rod and the staff. That's what he protects us with. The rod and the staff, that gives us courage. We can trust in this Jesus, in this good shepherd. Because remember, he's all about you and me. He's not about himself. He gives himself for us. Back to the psalmist. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And now we can really see the sacraments coming out. You spread the table before me. What is he talking about? He's pointing towards the Eucharistic table, ultimately. In the sight of our foes, Satan and his minions are probably around here somewhere. There's nothing they can do about it. We're at the banquet. We're at the table with our Lord in the sight of our foes. They can't do anything because we're the Lord, our good shepherd, our Father, the Holy Spirit are present. And then my cup overflows. What cup do you think they're talking about? They're talking about the chalice, right? The cup of blessing overflows with God's goodness and grace. He anoints your head with oil. Now we can't help but think of baptism, right? When we're anointed on the crown of the head. Confirmation, we're anointed. Holy orders, we're anointed. Those of us that share in holy orders. Beautiful. How the psalmist is pointing towards this wonderful goodness of the Lord. Speaking of goodness, the psalmist continues, only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. So the good shepherd is out in front leading us. He's beckoning, calling us by name, right? We heard that. Jesus himself was telling us about that in the gospel passage. But then goodness and kindness follow us. So it's kind of like a holy sandwich here. We're in between. You got the good shepherd out in front. You got his grace and his kindness and maybe the Holy Spirit behind. That's what happens when we walk with the Lord. When we put our trust in him. It's marvelous. So, brothers and sisters, although it may sound like it, this isn't too good to be true. This isn't some kind of pie-in-the-sky ideal that's inachievable. Rather, it is precisely what you and I were created for. Precisely. But it does require you to allow His voice, the Word become flesh, to cut you to the heart so that you don't dismiss Him, but rather repent and seek Him with humble and contrite hearts. This is entering through Him, entering through that sheep gate. I'm using imagery from the first reading here with that, the wonderful sermon that Peter gives. This is the only way that you can hear His voice clearly and respond firmly with confidence and joy without fear or suspicion. Without fear or suspicion. Remember that He has literally, this good shepherd has literally laid down His life for the sheep, for you and I. He is all in for you. All in, 100%. Fully committed to serving you, not Himself, unlike any other shepherd that you will ever encounter. So He's trustworthy. He has no ulterior motives. The only motive He has is your holiness, your eternal salvation. So just say yes when you hear Him calling. And yes, He is always calling every one of us. It's not occasional. It's constant. And allow Him to lead you on the greatest adventure possible in this life as He guides you closer to eternity with Him in the next.